Ready to podcast. Back in the chair, back in the cockpit, back in the captain's chair. Reggie behind the glass. We continue to social distance, and yet still we communicate. How amazing, right? All right. I'm looking here at the board, and the little needles are bouncing in anticipation for another fun podcast. So let's not keep the listeners or those needles waiting. All right. Put it in the book, episode 213. I'll do my three S's, and then you hit the button, and we will continue to make podcast magic. Ready? I'm the magician. You are my able assistant. All right, here we go. Three. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Star, smile, strong. Got the three S's in. Now we do the countdown, and then we get ready. Here we go. Ready, Reg? Yeah. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure at WGNRadio.com. Or wherever you download or find your favorite podcast. We are there. So don't forget, whatever platform you use, subscribe to that platform. Rate this podcast. Hopefully as many stars as you can give it. But most importantly, get on the bandwagon. Fly your freak flag. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell anybody you know that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And send them a link, send them a message, send them good tidings, but mainly send them over here so they can hear this thing too. Because there is no better advertising and no better validation than your recommendation. And as always, your loyalty and your devotion over the last 4-plus years now, over the last 200 episodes, is much, 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 much appreciated. Whether you're new to the podcast or whether you've been here since episode one back in May of 2016, we welcome you. And we certainly urge you to go to WGNRadio.com and go to the podcast section. And if you're interested, go back and listen to previous podcasts. You will find all 212 of them back there, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 213. And as I say many times, it's always a good idea to catch up on what we've talked about here over the last 4 years, because frequently I will refer to recent podcasts that have been posted within the last couple of weeks or months or even years. I have to have a really nice shout out to one of the regular podcast listeners, Steven. I was talking last week about my one of my guilty pleasures that unfortunately was canceled this year due to COVID, the Script Spelling Bee. And Steven took it upon himself on my Facebook page to go back and create a link to the original podcast that I talked about the Scripps National Spelling Bee in detail and how much I enjoyed it. Although last year I was a little disappointed because they did not declare one winner. I believe there were 8 co-winners because they continued to spell words, and these kids were so good that no one was missing. So after X amount of rounds, they just called it a tie, and I wasn't happy with that. I think if you're going to have a contest, there needs to be a winner. Enough of this. Everybody gets a trophy. Now, that's you have a game or a competition, there is a winner. And so while I was disappointed in last year's decision, I still remain a fan of the of the National Spelling Bee, as I said in last week's podcast. But Stephen went above and beyond. He went back, as I frequently suggest to the listeners, to go back and listen to other podcasts and to provide some background information to the listeners, the podcast listeners. Stephen went back and found that podcast from last year and put a link to it on my Facebook page. I didn't even do that. I just urged you to go there, but he went the extra mile. And so thank you, Stephen, for doing that and for being a loyal podcast listener and for your continued support. It means a lot. All the people. There's Roberta and there's Craig and there's many, many people that on a regular basis, Scott as well, who write very nice and encouraging things on my Facebook page or respond to different questions sometimes they may ask during the podcast, since we can't have a real-time dialogue. But thank you so much. Whether you have ever commented or ever just hit a like, I do post a link on my Facebook page to the podcast about three times a week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of that podcast of that week. So in case you miss it, it's always there for you to listen to, or as I say, pass it on to others as well. Could share that with other people. But thanks to all of you who have been loyal listeners along the way. You guys keep me doing this. You're an inspiration, and so I thank you for that. I'm having fun, and hopefully you are enjoying it too. So as we look at, it's so hard to get past living in a COVID world. Every so often, you know, you try to look past it, but it's just, it's hovering. It's still not gone. And I've mentioned this on many occasions, and I will continue to say it. You know, we're not out of the woods. We're far from it. We're far from, you know, this thing going away. We certainly are trying to wish it away and will it away. The virus is showing and proving to be a worthy adversary and is doing what viruses do. And they just don't go away because we want them to go away. And we're seeing now in several states that did open up over the last month and a half or so, we are seeing rises, not surprisingly, in those states. So, and I have to say that, you know, I have been very strict in my isolation and in my lack of socialization. My wife and I have pretty much hunkered down. My wife has been working from home. She's barely gone out, really. I mean, outside perhaps around our home, but she's only gone out a few times, really. And I only go out maybe once a week or so for groceries or gas or essentials. I do admit over the last week now, I have expanded my socialization just a tad. I got a haircut within the last couple of weeks, and I also went for a teeth cleaning to my dentist, which had been, you know, about 4 or 5 months. And so my dentist opened up, and there were quite a few protocols to go through, but it turned out to be a very, I felt safe situation, and nothing has happened since, so I'm glad about that. I mentioned on previous podcasts, we've had a few workmen come to the house to fix things, electricians and, things like that, and it happened again. We had a plumber here. We bought a new sink. Our sink was not working, our faucet, so we bought a new faucet. Plumber comes over, wrong faucet, didn't fit the sink. Ugh, what a pain. So we had to come back a week later after we got a new one. So I have had some socialization with people, but really not friends or family for the most part. I have gone to an eye doctor a couple of times. I do have an ailment in my right eye, which I do need to get treatment for. So I can't let that just pass on, or I'll get back to you in a couple of months kind of thing. I do need that. So I have gone two times to a retinal specialist, and I think I've even talked about this. I do get an injection in my eye, which sounds a lot worse than it is, although it's not great. I could do without it, but I'm sadly used to it now after almost 5 years. So that has been also an interesting situation. I have to call and when I get to the parking lot and then take my temperature before I go into the building, and really nobody in the waiting room, and everybody's wearing a mask. And so it's an interesting thing. So I have been out. I haven't been completely isolated or quarantined, but when I do go out, I certainly take the required measures. And when I come home, I'm washing my hands. And so if you are going out, you know, at the very least, I hope you will take the precautions. And at the very least, you know, if you're going to go to a restaurant, if you feel the need to do that, fine. I don't think we're at that point yet for reopening. I don't see the numbers moving that much to warrant as much expansion of our of the lockdown as has been happening. And we're seeing in a lot of states that have expanded, we're seeing a rise and a spike. And so I'm playing it conservatively. I'm wearing a mask. I'm washing my hands. I'm hunkering down. I'm waiting this out. As I've said many times, quoting Dr. Fauci, this virus does not move on itself. Does not move itself. We move it. And as much as we, you know, the warm weather gives us wanderlust, we are still moving it. It is still moving. We have not beat it. It is not gone. And it wants to stay around. So if you are moving around more and socializing more and going out, that's your choice. That's your call. You are raising your risk, but that's maybe a risk that you're willing to take. That's your call. At the very least, mask up, right? That's not such a big sacrifice, is it? To mask up for yourself and to help protect others as well, since we don't know whether we have this disease right away and we could pass it on. Is that so much of an inconvenience? Are your civil rights being so infringed by wearing a mask? Wow. If so, whew, you're lucky you're born in this country. That's all I can say. Is it that much to just be a good citizen and a good fellow citizen and a good fellow person on this planet? I don't know. But that's my two words, mask up. That's all I could say. That's not what I want to talk about today, but I thought I would throw that in there. Just as a regular reminder, because as I said, it's impossible not to look at everything right now through this prism of the coronavirus and its potential harm and its tenacity. It's not going away. And so for the most part, most of us here in the United States, although you know, people could be listening this around anywhere around the world, and we've seen certainly the COVID virus attack around the world as well, so nobody has really been spared of this. And we've been hunkering down for now since March. It's hard to believe it's already the end of June almost. Wow. I mean, it you would think that because we were hunkered down and quarantined for so long, that the time would have gone slower, maybe because we're bored or we're restless and we're trying to fill the day. But I don't know about you, but I have found that it's gone very quickly. And I haven't, you know, as I said, I've been keeping myself busy with different activities and projects, but Does it seem like it's already the middle of June? Almost July? It's been a fast year, thankfully. Hopefully this 2020 will just get away from us, because it has been proven to be one of the most tumultuous years in history, I think, right? Especially here in the United States. But at the same time, it has given us a chance to rediscover some things, you know, around the house, within ourselves, friends and family. And one thing that I talked about guilty pleasures last week in the podcast, and talking about how sadly the COVID virus has led to the cancellation of some of the things that I really enjoy watching on an annual basis. Thankfully, the Westminster Kennel Club show did get under the wire in February, but as I mentioned earlier, the Scripps National Spelling Bee was canceled, which is usually the last week of May, and the Little League World Series, which is in late August, has been canceled, even though the Triple Crown is being run. It's kind of been bastardized. All the races are out of order. Some have been shortened. It's really, to me, not the Triple Crown at all, even though they're calling it that. So that's I think that's a lost guilty pleasure. I've certainly missed going to concerts, both indoor and outdoor, and which is really one of my main kind of entertainment pastimes. So my wife and I like to travel. Certainly have not done that at all in 2020. I did it one time in February, mid-February. Went to New York City to see the Eagles perform Hotel California. And that was like February 18th, just before, thankfully, everything went crazy. And even though I was in New York City, I did not catch the COVID virus at that time, thankfully. But aside from that, we would have taken several trips and done a lot of things, as I'm sure you would have too, and it's all on hold. But what it has done is forced us to try to find ways to keep us, you know, active or interested or vibrant during this, and give us some kind of satisfaction to make up for the void, to fill those voids that have been instituted by this virus. And so what I like to say, you know, a lot of people, if you've noticed online, especially if you're looking on Facebook or Instagram and things like that, and you see the stories on the news, everybody's talking about how a lot of people are cooking now. Initially, a lot of people were baking, whether it was bread or cookies or coffee cakes or you name it. The baking became initially, while people were really hunkered down in March and April, became something that people were doing more often. And they were looking for those comfort foods. What I'd like to talk about today is some comfort food, but not that I have been indulging in, but not real food in terms of eating, but certainly things that are comfort food and that have been giving me nourishment in some way, emotional nourishment, maybe not physical nourishment, but emotional. The comfort foods that I've been going to on the television. I am a TV fanatic. I was a child of the 70s. I was raised on television. Most of us were. For better or worse, our parents, in many ways, used the TV as a babysitter. And don't forget, in the early to mid 70s, TV was relatively new still, even though it had been around in the 50s. It was still this kind of there were people in the 70s who still didn't have a color television. So people today, you don't even realize what you have in your hand, what you carry around in your pocket, the capabilities and the access that you have on that phone. There were households who did not have a color television in the 70s, okay? Even though the television had been around since the, you know, in a mass way since the 50s, and even color television had been around in mass quantities even in the mid 60s. It wasn't until the mid 70s or later where everybody just stopped making black and white TVs, but they were still around. So yeah, in the 70s, for better or worse, many times the TV was used as a babysitter. And being an only child, it really became one of my best friends. As I've said it on a few occasions, you know, I would go out and play with my friends during the day, but at night when they went back to home and, you know, played with their brothers or sisters, I didn't have those. So I had to find ways to occupy myself. And certainly I did that. And I still to this day am very comfortable by myself because I grew up having to find ways. I certainly spent time with my parents, but you know, when you're a kid, you don't want to always be with your mom and dad, right? So yeah, I'd go into my room and do different things. As a kid, I would always do puzzles and play games. I was active in sports, and I basically played sports on myself, whether it was playing pinners, throwing a ball against a wall, or going in the basement and shooting and roller skating in the basement. And it was not a big basement at all, folks, believe me. But there was a concrete floor, and I ruined the hell out of that concrete floor. But I would use, you know, those metal roller skates, and I would roller skate in my basement and shoot a street hockey ball at the net and pretend I was, you know, Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita and all the rest of the Blackhawks, you know. So a lot of my sports training was on my own, you know, doing that type of stuff. So I've always tried to find ways to amuse or entertain or, as I said, nourish myself. And so that's why this COVID thing is not as crazy or unbearable for me, I think. There are some people that really need to be around other people on a daily or minute-by-minute basis. And I certainly enjoy socializing and have a group of friends and family, but I also enjoy my alone time. And when I am alone, I am not feeling deprived or isolated or, stressed out. So maybe that's why I have a different view of the COVID situation. I'm just able to handle it more. It's not that big of an inconvenience or a shift in my daily lifestyle. And for other people, it may be both. Inherently, you need to socialize, and so you are with people. You come from a big family. You're used to having a lot of people around you. And so maybe that's why it's such a shift in your entire rhythms. And so I get that, but I also, you know, think that you have to be safe. But comfort foods of the entertainment variety is what I'd like to talk about today. What comfort foods that I have been feasting on television-wise to get me through the COVID thing. And I'd love to hear some of the things that you've been watching or doing in this time. So once again, after you listen to the podcast here, please feel free to go to my Facebook page. It's Jim Turano, Turano. Oh, I believe you can go under Elton Jim as well. And you'll see a link to this podcast. So just put your comments there underneath that. And I'd love to hear, what have you been watching? Other things you've been doing are fine. That's cool. But I'd really like to, what I'm going to be talking about here, some of the TV shows that I've been watching over the last couple of months. I just seem to be naturally going to in times of boredom or just to fill the day, that's what I call comfort food. Not even necessarily binging on things that I've always wanted to watch or watched again. I mentioned, I think, earlier in another podcast, my wife and I watched the entire series of Breaking Bad. We went back to the beginning again. We hadn't seen it in many years, and that was fun. We haven't binged too much on a lot of shows. I think we did get all up to date on Stranger Things and some other shows that we had fallen behind. But we don't fall behind on too many. We watch them as they come out. But the comfort food shows, those are the ones that I'm talking about. Those old reliable shows that you may have seen 100 times, that you know the plot inside and out, and yet in times like this, when you're just kind of sitting around at some time during the day or in the evening, and it's there's a show on that you know that you're going around the dial, and then you go, well, wait a minute. Ah, yeah, I've seen this one 1,000,000 times, but you know what? There's just something reassuring about it. It's like comfort food, that great feeling when you bite into, you know, a cheeseburger or a pizza or, you know, a really well-made meatloaf or, you know, a warm biscuit with gravy or, you know, macaroni and cheese or, you know, a really good bowl of pasta. Them's good comfort food, man. But TV, for me, also provides that same kind of endorphin, that same kind of not really so much excitement, but as much as a comfort, as a reliable place to go that I can just enjoy this. Even though I've seen it many times, or a comfort food, I've eaten it many times, it never fails to satisfy. Have you been going to those kind of shows? Have you noticed yourself going to those kind of shows? I have. I have to say there's no question for a couple of reasons. The one that I have been, that I've gone to the most over the last 3 months, and it's not so much by design, really. I mean, I love the show. I know it backwards and forwards. I've been watching it in reruns for most of my life. I can almost say that without really exaggerating. But also, the reason why it's become probably my main comfort TV food during the COVID lockdown is because of its availability. It is on almost constantly. I mean, this show is on several different stations at several different times. You can basically watch this show almost 24 hours a day if you time it right and if you wanted to. And there have been some times where I've almost done that. And I have to say, I won't tell you the name of the show. I'll whistle the name of the show. Boom. You got to know that one, right? Yeah. The Andy Griffith Show. I mean, I've been able to scour the program guide on my satellite dish. And of course, I mean, with a streaming service, I believe that the Andy Griffith Show is either on Netflix or on Amazon. I believe it's on Amazon. So literally, if you wanted to, you could watch the Andy Griffith Show 24 hours a day, start at episode 1, season 1, and go through season 8. You could do that. Or if you don't want to do it that way, as I said, it is on so many different stations at so many different times that it's almost on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I sort of have been, when there's down times in the day, I will I will find it somewhere. And I have seen these episodes. I can't even tell you how many times. I know them by heart. I could tell it by the first 5 minutes, by the first 2 minutes, by the first scene when it fades in. I could tell you what it's about. And yet, it has been my main TV comfort food during this lockdown, and it's interesting. So, like, just as, and if you haven't noticed or found it, let me just tell you. So, if you on your cable system or your satellite system, if you get the Sundance channel, the Andy Griffith Show starts at like, depending on your time zone. I'm in the Central Time Zone. You can start watching the Andy Griffith Show almost every day, starting at 3:30 in the morning. And it goes to like 9 a.m. You can almost watch it for 6 hours then. And then it's on TV land from 8 in the morning to like 10. And then it comes back at 3 in the afternoon and goes to 6:30. And in between, it's on some other stations. Or you could, as I said, in those down times, you could go to Amazon or Netflix, I believe it's Amazon, and watch as many as you want. So obviously, I know what I'm talking about here because I've been doing it. What I found myself, if there's any Andy Griffith aficionados out there, what I have found interesting is that I have been attracted to what many diehard Andy Griffith fans consider the lesser of the shows, the last three seasons, 66, 67, 68, which were the color episodes. I was talking about color TV and black and white TV. Most consider the black and white episodes of Andy Griffith the best. Those all feature Don Knotts as Barney Fife. And then Don Knotts left, even though over the last 3 years of the show, he did come back on a few episodes to make a cameo, which was nice. But the color episodes are not considered as good. After a couple of years, Floyd the Barber, his health deteriorates and he leaves. Emmett the Fix-It Man comes in. Howard Sprague reemerges out of nowhere, even though at one time he was an insurance person under a different name on an earlier show. But all of a sudden, he's Howard Sprague. Goober takes on a much more important role in the show. Aunt Bee has several episodes focused on her. And Opie, growing up, gets a lot more attention. He's even in a rock band. And then we have the introduction of Mayberry RFD with Ken Berry later on, which becomes a spinoff of the Andy Griffith Show. Many people don't know that the first episode of Mayberry RFD features finally the wedding of Andy Griffith and Miss Crump. And Don Knotts does return because he's Andy's best man. He's only in a small part at the beginning of the show. So yes, Andy and Helen do get married. And as much as Helen always said to Aunt Bee that she would want Aunt Bee to live with her and Andy and Opie, the fact of the matter is Aunt Bee does not live with Andy and Helen and Opie. She moves in with Ken Berry, who is Sam Jones, and his son, and he's also a widower. They really didn't change much when they had this Mayberry RFD, which is an extension of the Andy Griffith Show. Instead of Andy and his son Opie and Aunt Bee, they had Sam Jones, who was a widower, with his young son Mike, and Aunt Bee took care of them. And all the rest of the crowd was around too, your Howards and your Emmets and Millie, who was his girlfriend, who also was engaged to Howard Sprague earlier. A lot of incestuous things going on in Mayberry. So can you tell that I watched the show? But there is something comforting about the Andy Griffith Show. The irony of the Andy Griffith Show was that it went from 1960 until 1968, which really was one of the most tumultuous times in American history, starting with You know, the Cuban Missile Crisis in 62. Was it 62 or 61 or 62? And then, of course, the JFK assassination in 63. And then Vietnam throughout that whole period. And yet, when you watched the Andy Griffith Show, there wasn't a hint of the civil unrest, the growth of the civil rights movement, the violence that went along with that and the unrest that went along with that, as well as the protests against the Vietnam War that were raging during that time, and the the entire similar today, our entire society just kind of beginning a major seismic shift, and it wasn't easy, just like it isn't today. I believe that we're going through a very similar time now, and yet when you watch the Andy Griffith Show and its time, it blocked out the entire outside world and focused on this small little town and just the little minutiae and the mundane things that go on in this small little town, which they were able to build stories around. And that's why the show is timeless, because you don't know when it took place. It doesn't have many cultural references, or doesn't have many historical references. It's almost as if it was filmed and took place in this little vacuum, in this bubble, even though during its filming and during its time was probably one of the most newsworthy times ever. The decision was made not to bring the outside world in. The decision on that show was to keep this little Mayberry world immune from the outside forces and just center on Floyd the Barber and Goober and Gomer and Miss Crump and Aunt B and Ernest T and the Darling family and Barney Fife and all the craziness that would go on with them. And that's why I think the show is timeless. And it does provide a comfort food kind of sensation. And I found myself going to that show more often than I ever thought I would, mainly because, as I said, there's the access to it is just, it's always on. It's hard not to watch Andy Griffith because it's on somewhere, sometime, all the time. And as I said, I've been actually attuned to these color episodes. So Andy Griffith fans, if you find yourself not wanting to watch the color versions, they are on TV Land in the morning. As I said, Central Time, there's four episodes from 8 to 10 in the morning. I DVR them, and then I watch them in the evening or, whenever. I don't watch them when they originally air in the morning, but I'm out and about doing things, I'm busy. But I will DVR them and watch them later. And there's really some fun episodes there too, even though a lot of those characters, like I said, Howard Sprague and Emmett were lesser characters. Really, there are some really fun moments. A lot of people even forget that a comedian that just passed away recently named Jack Burns played Warren, who took Barney's place. This poor guy, this actor Jack Burns, he was well known in the comedy duo of Avery Burns and Shriver in the 60s. And Avery Shriver used to be on Match Game quite a bit. You may have seen him. He also did Doritos commercials, kind of a chubby guy with a big fluffy mustache and a big perm. And they were a very popular comedy team in the 60s. And I feel sorry for Jack Burns because he had it's a great opportunity, right, to be on the Andy Griffith Show, which was one of the most popular shows on television. But at the same time, stepping into the shoes of Don Knotts, who won 5 consecutive Emmy Awards for Barney Fife. Every year he was Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show from 1960 to 1965, he won an Emmy Award for his role. So Jack Burns, I believe, he played Warren, who was Floyd the Barber's nephew. And it just didn't work. It was an impossible, those were impossible shoes to fill. And they sort of made Warren kind of like Barney, but kind of not. He had his own personality, but Don Knotts was the deputy for Andy. And so I feel sorry for Jack Burns. I think he was only on for 10 or 11 episodes, maybe 12 or 13 from what I've read. And then they just kind of, he was just gone. They didn't even really make much of a reference to him leaving. And no one really seemed to care, which showed you how much of an impact he made on the show. But what I will tell you is, if you love the Andy Griffith Show, and if you have always been a fan of Floyd the Barber, I know many of you may know by now, it's become common knowledge for people that know the show, but Floyd the Barber was played by an actor named Howard McNear, and he was on at the very beginning of the show. In fact, I shouldn't say that. There was first one actor, for I think he played one or two times on episodes, who was Floyd the Barber, who was not Howard McNair. And once again, they just kind of swapped him out and didn't even care to acknowledge the switch. But Howard McNair is the Floyd the Barber we all know. And dark hair, glasses, little mustache. And, he was on at the early episodes of the show for the first couple, two or three years. And then he disappeared. And many people didn't know the fact that the actor himself, Howard McNair, had a very serious stroke. He lost a lot of movement on the left side of his body, almost all of it. And at the urging of Andy Griffith, when he did, rehab himself back to some kind of, normalcy, Andy Griffith, urged him to come back, and Floyd came back. But when he did come back, it was clear that, his physical condition was much less than he used to be. Very frenetic. He was bouncing around and always making movements. And the poor guy couldn't even really stand. For a while, they actually had to, attach him to the chair, to the barber chair, to make him look like he was giving a haircut. And later on, he just forgot about that. And Floyd was always sitting down. And if you notice, he never moves his left hand, because the left side of his body was paralyzed. When he talks, he's always, motioning and accentuating with his right hand. But my point is, if you want to really enjoy Floyd, even though his capabilities were his physical capabilities were declining, those color episodes really feature Floyd, and he really talked like he used to hear, like when people do an impersonation of him. This is the Floyd that they do. They don't do the frenetic Floyd of the early episodes. They're like, "Hi, Andy, Goober." So if you like that Floyd, I have to tell you, go watch those color episodes. His last episode is hard to watch. He's really declined. It's the one where Goober runs a contest, and Floyd wins a prize that there really isn't one. That episode is not only a great one, it's the last Floyd episode, but it's also noteworthy because a very young Rob Reiner appears in this. And if you watch The Andy Griffith Show, there are some actors that got their start. For instance, you will see the great character actor Harry Dean Stanton in a couple episodes of Andy Griffith. And most prominently, in the color episodes, in two episodes playing two different small, one-off characters, believe it or not, Oscar winner and Hollywood legend Jack Nicholson appears in two episodes of the color episodes from 1967 or 1968, I believe, or maybe they were both in 1967. He was just starting out. I don't think at that point, Easy Rider hadn't happened. This was right before he became one of the coolest, hippest, Hollywood icons of the last 50 or 60 years. But Jack Nicholson is on two episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. So if you have Amazon, go on and look for the episode called Aunt Bee the Juror, where Jack Nicholson plays a man who is falsely accused. And then there's another episode, which he's on very briefly in both of these. And another episode, I believe, is called Opie Finds a Baby. And he plays the father of a woman who abandoned the baby at the courthouse steps, and Opie and his friend Arnold found him. So, yeah, there's sometimes you will see some very famous people that were just starting out that got their start on the Andy Griffith Show. So from a historical standpoint, it's interesting to watch that show. But I'll tell you, from a pure comfort food kind of TV show, especially in this lockdown, I have been watching a ton of Andy Griffith reruns. Not far behind is Match Game. You know, the great 70s game show, Match Game, with Gene Rayburn and people that were regulars like Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly. I mean, that's why I do the It's because I loved Match Game growing up, and I loved Charles Nelson Reilly. And, you know, so Charles and Brett and then Richard Dawson, before he went to Family Feud, were all regulars on that show. Betty White was on quite a bit. Elaine Joyce was on quite a bit. A marginal actress, I'm not sure why she was on all the time, but Joyce Boulafont, who played Murray Slaughter's wife on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, she was on quite a bit. The great Fanny Flagg, who went on to write the book and the I believe the screenplay for Fried Green Tomatoes. Believe that? Fanny Flagg did that. Was on Match Game. The Game Show Network shows Match Game on in the morning, but also really dedicated to Match Game is a station that is both over the air. You can get this over the air. If you don't even have cable or satellite and you have an antenna on your TV, you can get this station. Or on my satellite station, it is one of the offerings. It's called Buzzer, B-U-Z-Z-R. And it's all game shows all day. Most of them from the 70s and 80s, a few from the 90s, but most of them from the 70s and 80s. And so you've got Family Feud, and you've got Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek, and you've got What's My Line and To Tell the Truth, obviously The Match Game, you name it. They've got all these Mark Goodson, Bill Todman shows, and I love those game shows growing up. They really were a major part of television in the 70s. Now they're making a comeback, obviously. If you look at many of the networks, especially ABC, they've resurrected most of these. Press Your Luck, which is on Buzzer, all those with Peter Tamarkin, who was the host at that time. Now Elizabeth Banks hosts a Press Your Luck version on ABC. Obviously, Match Game has been revised, rebooted with Alec Baldwin for the last several years. Family Feud has been on forever. I don't think it's ever really gone off the air. Right now, Steve Harvey hosts that. Anthony, I'm blanking on the guy that from Black-ish. But he's the host, Anthony Anderson. He hosts To Tell the Truth on ABC. So a lot of, and I believe Supermarket Sweep, which is also on Buzzer every night, is coming back in a new version as well. So, but Buzzer is on 24 hours, as is the Game Show Network. But Buzzer just keeps playing all those old reruns. And so once again, Match Game, you can watch Match Game almost 24 hours. They run a Match Game mini marathon every day from like 10:30 in the morning to about 1 in the afternoon. I've DVR those. And then because I have insomnia, and then they're on, I believe, in the afternoon from 3 to 6 again. And then they are on again at 4. Is it? No, they're on from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. I think 10:30 to 1. 4 to 6, and then, because I have insomnia, always have, they're on from 3 to 6 in the morning. So once again, if you want to watch the match game, and they throw in all different years, it's, you know, that new match game with Gene Rayburn, which became the number one game show in America, to many, to the surprise of many, started in 73, and those classic Gene Rayburn episodes went to like 78 or 79. Then they had a nighttime version. They throw some of those in. And then they even unearthed from the 80s a horrible version of the show. They did bring Gene Rayburn back out of mothballs to co-host an hour version that combined Match Game and the popular game show Hollywood Squares, which was initially perfectly hosted by Peter Marshall. And for some reason, they didn't bring Peter Marshall back. And they gave the hosting job of that, this reboot, which was combined with Match Game, was called the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour. It sounds as bad as it is. There's such a lack of energy. Gene seems to be going through the motions. He seems like he's just cashing a paycheck. He's trying his best, but you could see that it's just not the same. There's really low-rent celebrities. I put that in quote. Most of these people I'd never even heard of. Even in today's world, I don't know who they were. They were flash in the pan people from TV shows from, you know, from the 80s, I guess, that never panned out. And they combined the shows. It didn't work. But it had two, you know, well-known names, Match Game and Hollywood Squares. But the host turned out to be John Bauman. And you say, Jim, who's John Bauman? Well, if you ever remember the popular retro 50s band called Sha Na Na, who basically just sang a lot of 50s songs back in the 70s and the 60s during the revival. Believe it or not, Sha Na Na played at Woodstock, if you can believe that. It wasn't just Jimi Hendrix and some of the cool bands and Janis Joplin, you know. Yeah, Sha Na Na played at Woodstock, believe it or not. Well, there was 3 days. They had a lot to fill. They had a lot of time to fill. But yet, John Bauman was Bowser, who was this tall, skinny guy with the big pompadour, kind of Fonzie hairstyle, who would always open his mouth real wide and make a fist. Well, for this, he wasn't Bowser. He wore a sport jacket and a sweater vest, and he had his hair combed, and he was as uncool as possible. He may have been semi-cool as Bowser, but as John Bauman, he was horrible. But even that show's on there. So another comfort. I've seen all these episodes. I know the contestants. I know which ones they go on to win, which ones don't. But it doesn't matter because there's something just so comforting and reassuring about that show. It's fun to watch. It gets risque, especially for its day. There's some jokes that are so inappropriate in today's world, they could never say them or get away with them. You almost groan when you hear them. It really is a time capsule of the 70s. And I just find myself, once again, going to that show because it's comforting, even though I've seen it a million times, but also because of the access. It's on so often. So I have to say, Andy Griffith and Match Game have really been my two COVID, comfort food shows, mostly since March. But I do have to mention that I have been watching a lot of another one of my great favorite shows, Columbo. I love Columbo. Columbo's on the HMM network. Not that I'm watching a lot of TV, right? It's an offshoot of the Hallmark channel. Some cable and satellite things may have it. It's the Hallmark Murder and Mystery Channel. Columbo is on, I believe, every morning at 6 a.m. And then Columbo here locally, or even nationally too, on MeTV is on every Sunday night. So you can get your fill of Columbos. I DVR those, and whenever I'm bored, I'll throw on a Columbo. I know who did it. I know how they did it. I know when they did it. Doesn't matter. Great, great comfort show is Columbo. Now here's, and I said on the Game Show Network, I've been watching, I've discovered two interesting shows. The original version of Concentration, which is hosted by a guy named Jack Nahrs, who was the brother of Tom Kennedy, who was a very famous game show host in the 70s, and also the brother-in-law of Bill Cullen. I didn't know how incestuous these game show hosts were, but it was quite a small little world there. Yeah, Jack Nahrs. He hosted the original Concentration later in the 80s. Alex Trebek hosted Classic Concentration. And if you remember that show, they would have some puzzles that you would have to solve by matching numbers, and then the puzzle was revealed, but it was done with pictures. And then you had to put the pictures together, and they formed a phrase or a name of some sort. So you had to uncover the puzzle by matching the numbers with the prizes. And then as those were revealed, you tried to guess the puzzle by the pictures, almost like hieroglyphics, the pictures that created the phrase. And Jack Nahrs hosted a version in the 70s, which is so... It's, once again, it's so hokey that I can't stop watching it. It's so low production value. When you have to watch it. It's on 6:30 on this buzzer channel once again every night Central Time. When the pieces of this puzzle are revealed, there's this loud crank. I mean, they can't even find a good way to do it. They keep giving away a Chevette. A Chevette. It's a horrible looking car. And that's the big grand prize. I've also discovered a show from the 80s that I never even knew existed that they play every so often on Buzzer. I know they play it on Saturday mornings, hosted by Monty Hall of Let's Make a Deal fame. It's called Split Second. And it's a reboot of a show that I believe Tom Kennedy did in the 70s, where they would give away a car. That was cool because on the original in the 70s, they had five cars, and if you won the game, you'd go in the car and you'd turn the key, and if the car started, you won that car. If not, you had to win another game, and then out of the remaining cars, there's like five cars, and you keep picking a car, and hopefully when you turn the key. So there's a lot of cool drama in that one. It was so cool because when they turned the key, it would either go... or so that was the big excitement of that. Split Second is a little different this time. They still give away a car, but I enjoy that show because some of the questions are fun. So yeah, I've been definitely comfort fooding on game shows. Andy Griffith, definitely number one. Match Game and Columbo. I would have to say those three shows have really been my comfort food, as well as some of these other game shows. But I have to say, I'm comfort fooding on a new one. It's not a new show. One of the most popular shows of the 70s, once again. And, you know, I'm obviously going back toward my youth, which we all do. I know them all by heart. I know every episode. Oh, I should mention another show that I do watch with regularity, which is probably my favorite TV show of all time, is The Honeymooners. With Jackie Gleason, and I say that because I've been watching that regularly. I'm not even binging on that, really, because I always watch it, but I have been watching it a lot now, but that one is just a staple for me. I love the classic 39 episodes. I know them all by heart. They're on... I actually get the New York local station, WPIX, which shows them on Saturdays, at three different times. So I get my fill on Saturdays by DVRing them. And then they're on Sunday here in Chicago or nationally on MeTV on Sunday night. So I get my fill of The Honeymooners too. And I could talk about The Honeymooners for the rest of my life. So let me add The Honeymooners in there. I should say that. I watch that with such regularity. I don't even consider them a comfort food during the COVID time because I just always watch them. But yeah, we've got Andy Griffith, The Honeymooners, Columbo, Match Game, and some of these other game shows. But one that I've just rediscovered because it just came on again and every day, and it really is a show that hasn't been on a lot or continuously in syndication, considering how popular it was. And I'm wondering if maybe there's going to be a throwback to this now. But I am been finding myself enjoying and looking forward to and DVRing and watching on a daily basis Happy Days. I was never a huge Happy. It was funny. I'm not even a huge Happy Days fan when it was on. I certainly watched it during its heyday, and then it got goofy toward the end. But I'm finding myself oddly attracted to Happy Days, and especially the early episodes from 74 and 75. By 76 and 77 and 78, it started to lose. It got so popular, and Henry Winkler as the Fonz became so popular, the show just centered around him, and he took on, you know, almost superhero powers. So it got a little exaggerated, but no one cared. And Happy Days, you remember, gave life to Mork and Mindy in a very memorable but kind of crazy episode where Robin Williams starred as Mork as an alien. On Happy Days, and of course, Laverne and Shirley. Both of those shows were amongst the most popular shows of the time, and they were both spinoffs of Happy Days. So I'm surprised. It's on, once again, Happy Days is on MeTV at 5:30 Chicago time, and I find myself DVRing that one and enjoying, watching Happy Days again. I never thought I would, but there is some weird appeal to Potsy and Fonzie and Malf and the early episodes, Bag, and the Gems and the Demons and Joni and even the mysterious brother Chuck and obviously Tom Bozzi and Marion Ross as Mr. and Mrs. C. Did you know that Howard Sprague, as I mentioned earlier, from the Andy Griffith Show, later became and appeared on Happy Days as Ralph Malf's father. Did you know that? Little trivia there. So, yeah. Jim, what have you been doing during the lockdown? Well, I've been trying to keep myself busy. But when those times when I can't keep myself busy, I have found myself going to some of the comfort shows that have entertained me and nourished me and comforted me throughout most of my life. I found myself going right back to them. Andy Griffith, The Honeymooners, Match Game, Columbo. When you need that warm, fuzzy comfort feeling, there's nothing you like to hear better than and so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. We are there. So don't forget to rate the podcast, subscribe to that platform, but most importantly, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors that your favorite episode or your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode 213. I'm Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. Oh.